Well, welcome everybody to NZ Pubcast.
Session 4.
Session 4 now.
Hey.
Well, with us tonight we have Caroline Joy, a local musician from around town here in Christchurch.
Hello.
And we'll actually be talking with her a bit more and listening to some music. But some of the stuff we're going to talk about this week, well, actually, we didn't get to the Wandering Gorilla last week.
So no, we went so fast last time that we didn't get to it.
So we'll get to that. We'll get to the research of New Zealand science. Also, we're going to talk about
Kiwi science.
Kiwi science.
Not as fast.
Party pills in New Zealand, the stuff there. We're also going to talk about traffic woes and pies, how they go. As well as billboards advertising and gray racers. Gray racers. Not boy racers, gray racers and those terrible little mobility scooters.
A menace to society.
Yes. So let's just get into it because we're going to maybe run out of time again.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so
Kiwi science, I think.
We'll pick up
Kiwi science.
So what's the deal here?
Well, what I thought this was quite interesting. I don't know if anybody else had heard about this, but it was a university up in Wellington, up in the North Island. They did a study on the effect of alcohol on people's awareness. Basically, tying it back to how much booze would affect people when they're drinking and driving. And what they did was they took showed a video of 3-on-3 basketball and told the participants to count the number of passes, and they had half the group just drinking a tonic water, and the other half drinking a stiff vodka tonic, enough to get their blood level up to 0.04.
A nice drink, yeah.
A nice drink.
Yeah, very good.
And then in this video of people playing basketball, there was a woman dressed in a full gorilla suit,
okay,
walk on the center court, and bang her chest for 9 seconds. And they wanted to see how many people would actually notice this gorilla.
So,
and what do you think?
I'm guessing that the people who had a stiff drink didn't actually notice the gorilla.
Yeah, it was surprisingly low. Like, surprisingly low. I mean, mind you, there was still some people that didn't when they, who didn't have the drink, but it was
okay.
It was crazy.
Well, suppose if somebody is, if you're watching, like, you're told to watch something, and it's science, it's for science. You're kind of, you're going to focus on what they tell you to focus on.
But a 9-second gorilla.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, I suppose something is at a place like that. And I suppose they were asked, did you see anything out of place there? And then some of them went, oh yeah, there was a big gorilla in the middle of the court. And then some people kind of went, nope, just everything was fine. So I suppose the point of this is to get an idea of,
the research really that goes along here.
Yeah, well, I suppose they want to see if drink drivers, okay, there's a theory that a lot of drink driving accidents happen is because a drink driver is so focused on keeping under the speed limit, and he's basically watching the speedometer like a hawk, but he's not really watching the road.
So it's basically they were trying to say that even if you're not drunk, legally drunk, you're still so aware that you're looking out for that cop who's gonna tag you for the speed limit that you're not seeing a pedestrian or a biker.
And even if the pedestrian's dressed as a gorilla, you mightn't necessarily see them.
Pretty well.
Okay, moving swiftly along.
we'll get on to the what were we gonna talk about? Oh yeah, the party pills. The party pill scene here in New Zealand.
Okay, right. Okay, well, I'll do a quick explanation on this. In New Zealand, it is legal to buy these things, what we call
party pills.
Generically, yeah, it's party pills. And basically, these are, so it's the equivalent of taking a pill, like an ecstasy tab or a speed tab. Depending on what type you buy, different pills give different effects. But these things are perfectly legal. They're not ecstasy, they're not speed, but they're chemicals that pretty much give the same effect in the body. And I'm sorry, I'm just waiting for the babies.
That's Pubcast.
This is Pubcast, it's all live. So, basically, the situation in, you can take these things, you can get absolutely wrecked. It's incredible that these things are actually legal. I've taken these things. They're quite strong. They're comparable to taking an ecstasy tablet. Or, maybe a few lines.
There's actually dedicated shops around town and around the country that are just, they're the place to go.
All they do is sell party pills, yeah.
That's
exactly
what they get.
And, in New Zealand, the drug situation is kind of different because you don't, ecstasy isn't readily available in the same way as
we live on an island.
We live in the middle of bloody nowhere. Drugs wise, you know what I mean? I mean, marijuana is easy, very easy to get your hands on.
Growing
season
long.
Yeah, exactly. It grows quite well in New Zealand. But things like ecstasy, cocaine, heroin, they just aren't easily got here. You know, so as a result of that, and I suppose these companies are using a loophole in the law, and because what they're selling is actually not illegal. But the other interesting thing is that they're not because they're not selling anywhere else in the world. There's no research scientifically to say that these things are actually bad for you. Now it's pretty damn obvious these things are bad for you, because Christ, they make you feel bad the next day. They make you feel really sick the next day, especially if you mix them with alcohol.
Well, there's explicit warnings to not.
Yeah, but come on. Who's going to listen to those?
Actually, there's a place here that are selling them, and they've done quite a large radio campaign recently. And they've said, you know, they're trying to take the responsible route, saying, you know, if you take these, make sure you don't drink alcohol. If you take these, make sure you don't have to go to bed the next 4, 5, 6 hours.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to be the voice.
Well, yeah, I mean, there has been incidents where people have ended up in hospital from taking too many of them, and basically they're having, you know, palpitations. And I mean, same, very similar situations to when people take ecstasy in other countries. Yeah, and speed. Because, I mean, a lot of them, basically, all they do is just make your heart rate speed up, which in turn, you know, pumps the body full of adrenaline and endorphins and, you know, gives you a pretty, pretty good high. But, of course, yeah, I mean, you know, some people go a bit overboard and take too many. But
we were going to actually talk about is a different user of sort here.
Yeah, okay, well, there was a new story recently here which we thought was kind of funny. Basically, there was a company that actually makes these party pills in New Zealand. Also makes horse feed, basically.
For race horses,
yeah. And somehow, some of the chemicals that they used to make the party pills ended up in the horse feed. And this horse basically won a race in New Zealand.
In Christchurch here, actually.
In Christchurch. Yeah. Oh, yeah. A local horse. Was dope tested and failed because some of the... they found party pills in the horse. This horse likes a party. It's probably no... You know, it probably stands a good reason why the horse, you know, won the race. You know, because he was probably excited and, you know, the horses were...
But it's not like it was like a 200-to-1 odds or anything. I mean, it was a good horse. It just
wasn't done
intentionally, or so they say. I mean,
well, no, I think the company actually admitted that they made
there was some contamination.
But the horse still, you know, got its, you know, title taken away. I mean, what's the?
Well, they won a purse of like $5,000 or something like that. A $6,000 purse. Yeah.
They won a $6,000 purse and it got taken away.
And they may also have $9,000 in charges against them.
Oh man, yeah. This is terrible. This is terrible. I mean, basically, if you're a horse,
don't take party pills.
Just be careful what you eat, because it could have something
that salt lick
strong
is
there.
Not really a salt lick.
Yeah, no, it could not just be a salt lick. It could. Okay, just because it tastes, you know, makes you feel good, doesn't make it good. Oh, Lordy. Oh, yeah. Okay, so anyway, if you ever do come to New Zealand, I do recommend you try these things. Because everyone should
just
try
not with alcohol.
Everybody should try something, everything once. I mean, you probably will have a pretty good time with them. But if you take them with alcohol, you're basically gonna have a good time, okay? But my God, you're gonna feel sick. Have you ever taken one?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, man, you should try it. But it probably wouldn't go with your drinking habits.
I'll take Johnny Dodge's advice and get up on the goofballs tomorrow then.
What are goofballs? You always hear them talking about that in The Simpsons. I've never... What is a goofball? Do you know what a goofball is?
I'm not actually sure, but they sound pretty good.
Oh, dear. They're probably something similar, I don't know.
Yeah. They're probably just party pills.
Well, I know that. I mean, party pills are... They try to bring them back in Ireland, and they just ban them immediately. I don't know. They can just prove that there's some chemical in them. But those New Zealands are... They can't actually ban stuff without very good reason. So at the moment, I mean, I'd be very surprised if these things stay legal for another year or so.
Well, they've only just started research, so how long is it going to take for them to prove that they're bad for you? Probably about 10 years. So we've got a good 10 years on this.
10 years?
Really?
The research you think takes so? Time. Yeah.
Nah, that research with the gorilla? Half an hour.
But the thing, the people on party pills would definitely notice the gorilla. You notice everything. I've got to hear the gorilla's footsteps.
Yeah, because they can't test people for drinking, driving, and taking party pills. But wasn't there one guy called Dan Sayers and he said, you're taking some like 30 party
pills? That came out. No, he didn't. He just said that. He told that to the cops.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he said he took 45 party pills and was driving. And I mean, he'd be clinically dead.
Yeah.
But anyways, another thing that Kiwis have an addiction for is pies.
You know
what? I never actually really ate pies. Well, you know, before the frozen Swanson dinner pies.
I don't work for Swanson.
Swanson dinner pies in Canada and stuff like that, but not the same. You go to the dairy or grocery store, whatever you hear.
A dairy is a grocery store.
Dairy is a grocery store. No. Gas station, petrol station, whatever, and you can get a fresh meat pie or...
It's like a Kiwi, a New Zealand institution, is the humble meat pie. I mean, they come in all flavors. A
little flaky pastry.
But they're quite filling. They actually do, they are a good meal.
They're
still junk food, but I mean, they are quite tasty. And I mean, they're available absolutely everywhere, and they only cost $2.
I mean, that's value for money right there.
They're incredibly cheap. They are incredibly cheap. And so, I mean, if you're absolutely, absolutely stuck for something to eat, they're available pretty much everywhere.
And they taste like heaven at like 4 in the morning after drinking.
Yeah.
All night.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or party pills, partying with your horse or whatever.
I can't imagine eating a pie on a party bill.
Yeah.
I don't think that would happen.
Anyways, this train driver up in, was it Whanganui? North Island? Whanganui?
Whanganui, yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear about this, Caroline? You didn't hear about this? He was driving his train and he's got an addiction, sort of, so to speak, of pies. And he always eats big bite pies. That's his thing, big bite pies. And he went to the store, and always stops the train, gets the pies, says, I'll be back. Anyways, the next day he came back.
The train on the tracks.
On the tracks. And you got to realize, in New Zealand, there's like single lane roads for highways, and there's, trains going right through the city. And anyways, he stopped it, went in to get his pies. He ordered 10. As I said, he's got a slight addiction, ordered 10. They didn't have them, so he waited for 20 minutes. 20 minutes.
Okay.
Middle of the town. Traffic stopped.
So, so the train tracks are going right across all the major roads in the town.
Yeah.
And so nobody could basically move. But they're waiting for this one bloke to get his pies. That goes into the folder of only in New Zealand. That would only ever happen in a country like New Zealand. I don't think it could happen. I don't think even that would happen in India. That wouldn't happen anywhere else. That could only happen here. Because, that incident was purely caused by pie.
It was a pie.
I'm not even pronouncing it properly. It's like poi. That incident was caused completely by pies. So this is, it might look kind of, innocent and, unthreatening. But I tell you, a poi can stop you from getting to work in the morning.
Well, this chick was in a cab and she had to pay twice the fare.
Oh, no way.
Twice the fare because she was sitting there in the traffic jam because of this train across all roads because he was waiting for his, say it, a poi.
Poi. Oh, you can't do it properly. You can't do it again.
Poi.
Poi.
Nah, I can't do it.
Say,
it's a pie.
Say, it's like a six pick and a greasy poi.
Nah. That's not for me. It's a pie.
Okay. Right, moving on from poise.
Moving on poise. What else were we talking about? Oh, advertising in New Zealand.
Okay, all right, well, there's a bit of a backstory here. In New Zealand, it's very similar to Ireland, so Irish people will relate more to this. But in New Zealand, basically half the population lives in one city called Auckland, which is situated in North Ireland, near the top of the North Island. And Aucklanders have the rest of the country have a kind of mixed feeling towards Aucklanders. I mean, because they come from kind of the big city.
The metro.
Yeah, they kind of they tend to look down on people from Auckland to some degree. I mean, Caroline, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not really sure why. I think a lot of it's ignorance, but that's definitely the case. But it goes both ways. Auckland look down on us. Folk from the country as well.
Yeah. It's the same in Ireland. I mean, because you've got basically half the population living in Dublin, and then the rest are living elsewhere in Ireland. And basically, people from the countryside hate everyone from Dublin, and people in Dublin just have, very little respect for people from the countryside. Okay, that's a bit of a generalization, but in a cultural sense, that's pretty much the case. It's no different in New Zealand. Aucklanders have this thing. And basically, we'll give you the slang word for Northern Derry. It's called a Jaffa.
A Jaffa. It's an acronym, really.
It's an acronym. Okay, so it's Jaffa, G-A-F-F-A. That stands for Just Another Auckland Fucker. Or no, Just Another Fucker from Auckland. I can't even do it right. Just Another Fucker from Auckland. Jaffa.
Jaffas are also these little chocolate candy balls with a red coating.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of like
orange and chocolate. The Just Another Fucker from Auckland has sort of taken the mainstream for Jaffa now.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but it's kind of done in jest as well. I mean, I don't think anybody actually hates people from Auckland. They just kind of go, oh, you're from Auckland. You're just another fucker from Auckland. So kind of, yeah, it's not really, there's no vindictiveness there or maliciousness.
It's not malicious.
No. Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of Kiwis having a laugh at each other. But anyway, in that vein, in the most southernmost city in New Zealand.
Actually, in the world.
Southernmost, yeah, I heard that.
Actually, that's another thing about Kiwis. We'll get to another thing, but everything's got to be world famous. World famous pies. You know, everything's got to be the best or something. So, actually, the city, it is the most southern city in the world.
If it is a city.
It's not a city anymore, officially, but I'm sure they still claim that title.
Yeah.
It keeps losing its population to Auckland, probably.
Yeah, there's a big drive to get people to move there, actually. Oh, the city in question is Invercargill, which is basically, if you've seen the film The Fastest Indian, which is basically features a guy from Invercargill.
Burt Monroe.
If you haven't seen the film, it's a really good film to get out. It should be out on DVD wherever you are. But it's a good, actually, it's a good film that kind of documents Kiwi culture. By and large,
Sir Anthony Hopkins is in it.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
Yeah. He did a really good job.
He did a great job, apparently, of his accent as well. Apparently, he got the accent bang on.
Poise.
Nearly.
Yeah, well, he's probably never going to nail it properly. I mean, look, when I actually saw the film, I kind of thought he was using an English accent, but I think a lot of people there do kind of have an English accent. I mean, they don't speak the same way.
No, southern accents, but different. They really roll their R's, and they talk like in the back of their throats. And they it's a bit different.
Yeah. But it's a great film. It's one of those real fuzzy-wuzzy feel-good movies.
But it's not a chick flick. Anyways, sorry. Getting back to Invercargill.
Invercargill have put up a new billboard when you drive into the place. And basically, it's like one of the billboards that's welcoming you to the city of Invercargill. And then it has a byline, like a strapline underneath that says, as far from Auckland as you can possibly get.
Brilliant.
Which I thought was fantastic.
This will go to Invercargill.
Because it's as far from Auckland as you can possibly get. Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's, you know, kind of funny because, you know, it's obviously going to make Kiwis laugh. But, I mean, anybody that wasn't from New Zealand probably would be a bit mystified by that. But that's basically the reason. Is because, you know, there is a kind of low opinion in jest of people from Auckland. And, you know, it's just a funny thing, really. It's
And I don't think they really, you know, nobody from there would really take offense. And actually, they did interview someone. It's like, it's all in fun.
Yeah, exactly. They had a couple of rugby players that had just moved down from the Auckland rugby clubs. And they thought it was great.
I think a lot of the people who leave Auckland are quite pleased to get out of Auckland. That's been my impression from the people I've met who have arrived in Christchurch.
Yeah, hideous traffic problems.
And
it's not because of trains and poise.
No, it's just
terrible.
Just general. And power cuts for a few hours. And not even a few days or weeks like Canterbury, but a few hours. This is still top.
I suppose they just have a different experience to live in New Zealand than the rest of the country there.
Yeah. The Kiwi attitude is to kind of just get on with it. She'll be right. You'll be okay. But when Auckland was without power for a few hours, it was national news and just as if the whole country had stopped. But
it's only because half the population live there, right?
There's more people living in Auckland than the South Island in total.
I think it's the same amount.
I think there's one more in Auckland now.
One less, maybe. They're all arriving in Invercargill. The scales are being tipped.
Anyways, we should finish this off with the last thing we were going to talk about tonight.
Are we out of time? What time are we on?
Oh, we're not out of time. No, we're just our last story okay. before we yep. get to Caroline.
Okay. I like this funny. I think this is quite funny. Now I'm probably gonna get shut down for this, but I kind of think that this is priceless actually. Okay, so the headline is basically 89-year-old bled like a bat out of hell. I'm quoting from a story there, but I probably shouldn't. But basically, this is a story about an 89-year-old who was riding around on a mobility scooter, I believe they're called. So these are basically little scooter things that...
you know the ones with little baskets on the front?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, that's the best way to scoot. Messing with our high-tech microphone there. So these are things that older people would use to get around to the shops and do their shopping or whatnot. Like however, this is a story basically about one woman who basically hit and run this poor chap on the pavement. But not only did she hit him, she actually reversed over him, breaking his leg in two places. And then, you know, if that wasn't bad enough, basically took off. Like a bat out of hell. And it disappeared. You know what I mean? Just basically hit the floor, hit the pedal to the metal. And legged it.
Zoomed off back to the rest home.
Yeah. Well, zoomed it back to her house. Basically, and like the guy that got hit was obviously in tremendous pain. He had a companion who witnessed the whole thing, was obviously shocked, ran after this woman. But couldn't keep up with her because he was quite old himself. He only actually managed to find out who it was after he basically did house-to-house inquiries. So he basically went around the neighborhood, ringing everyone's door going, do you know this woman who's got a mobility scooter? And the thing was, I mean, she'd done it before.
Yes, it's not her first time.
It wasn't her first time actually, you know, doing this to somebody. She'd done it before. And the thing was, okay, her son is a police officer.
So apparently he's pretty high up too.
Well, apparently, yeah, he's not a regular Bobby on the street. He's up in the
He's got some ranks, anyways.
Yeah, he's up in the ranks. Yeah, exactly. So apparently, I think this is priceless as well. Whenever she was confronted, as in, oh my god, you're the crazy woman who ran over my friend and broke his leg twice and ran over him twice and then legged it. The first thing she said was, my son's in the police force and he's very high up. And basically, yeah, it took a few attempts to actually get her to recognize the fact that she'd done some damage to this person and legged it and actually done something wrong. She did apologize.
In the end, she did apologize.
In the end, but it took a while. You know what I mean? And it was only after, I think she said she didn't want to apologize because she was the victim of a vicious gossip campaign. What was it? Evil gossip campaign. Which made her reluctant to kind of say sorry. I mean,
but it's not even her first time.
And but she's done it more than once. I mean, but the thing is, okay, I was reading actually, I was going, I wonder has there been any other instance of this happening anywhere else in the world? Because, I mean, these things are kind of more common. You know, we've got an aging population worldwide, especially in the Western world. And so these kind of, you know, mobility scooters becoming more and more commonplace. So then there must have been instances of, this happening, so similar situations happening elsewhere. Apparently last year there was...
two.
Well, this is in New Zealand, I think. So in New Zealand there was two people killed
this year. There's been three deaths since 2002 from mobility scooters.
Three deaths and 50 people injured. Worldwide.
Well, they didn't say. It's just three deaths.
It's just from the Ministry of Transport. That's their stats. But worldwide, last year, 8 people killed. Okay? Worldwide. And about 1,000 injured.
Interesting
thing about these things, okay. When you can take these things onto the road.
And the sidewalk.
And the sidewalk.
I mean, okay. they're high powered enough.
You don't need a license to have them. Okay, they can go. I mean, some of them can go up to like 10 miles an hour, which mightn't seem fast, but I mean, if something hits you at 10 miles an hour, you're gonna feel it. Exactly. You don't need these. Also, the machines themselves, they don't need to be tested. They don't need to pass any.
There's no maintenance. Anything of that stuff. It's just crazy.
So they're basically like they're little ones themselves, and. It's just insane, you know, and these are the thing that galls me is that, you know, these people basically spend most of their time complaining about younger people.
And their skateboards.
And they're driving on their skateboards and all the rest of it, like. And, you know, but it's okay for them to go around running people over. And the thing is, okay, this woman was actually taken to court, obviously, okay, she broke this guy's leg, hit and run. The first person in the country to be prosecuted for an incident of this type, but they're not going to stop her riding her mobility scooter because she needs it to be mobile. You know what I mean?
And it's not like they can take her license off her.
They can't take her license off her because
she doesn't have a license.
No.
But apparently, I was reading something. There was some guy in England, and he was basically he hit some guy when he was drunk. Okay, he had a few pints in the pub, got on his mobility scooter, was driving home in this thing, hit somebody, didn't kill him or anything, just caused him an injury. And I think he caused some injury to some car as well, I think. And he was actually arrested and done under drink driving laws. But then, a few weeks later, this guy talked to his solicitor and worked out that there was actually, he couldn't have been charged because he wasn't actually breaking the law, because there isn't a law against drink and driving, because this thing isn't recognized as a motorized vehicle. It's recognized as a high-tech Zimmer frame. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what, in the eyes of the law, that's pretty much what it is. It's just something that helps you to get from A to B. And,
they're gonna have to do something.
Oh yeah, no, it's only a matter of time before these things come in. And I mean, these things are also been used by people with disabilities, other kind of disabilities, as well as the older people. But I think if somebody does do something like this woman did, she should be made to apologize publicly, and she should at least get some kind of ban, just to teach her a bit of a lesson. You know what I mean?
She got fined $2,000, I think.
£2,000. Okay, well that's fair enough. Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I should have read the story.
No. That's all right.
That's okay. You just see more of this in the future. Get used to it. Get used to these kind of incidents.
Look out.
Exactly.
You're worried about boy racers.
See,
it's the grey racers
you
that you really got to worry
if
about.
If you see a scooter, a mobility scooter, come
run.
Towards you, run for your life.
Just run.
Just run. Just jump into the hedge. Just get the hell out of there. Because your life is in serious danger.
Or at least your legs.
Or at least your legs are. Okay, well, our special guest this week, anyway, as Caroline. Caroline's already been commenting earlier. So Caroline is a musician in Christchurch. So Caroline, let's have a little bit of a chat about your life as a musician. So how long have you been doing the old music?
I've probably been doing the old music since I was about 7.
Okay.
But actually performing pop music, like that's classical, performing pop music for about, I don't know, 7 years or so. Around Christchurch and Dublin and Norway and London, places like that.
And the music you're doing at the moment, it's basically you write your own music, you play piano, you sing. But now you're doing also kind of electronic music as well.
Yeah, been using this program called Cubase, so I can actually turn my tracks into dance music.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to hit some of the clubs around town soon. There's a lot of clubs here in Christchurch that are pretty open to local acts. It's a really good place, really good environment for people who are wanting to establish themselves as musicians. It's very, you'll get gigs reasonably easily, and if you're no good, you won't get many more after that. But if you're reasonably good, you can get onto the circuit pretty easy.
Well, I mean, you've done a lot of gigs around town, just doing your acoustic.
Yeah.
Acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
And that seems to go down quite well.
Yep, definitely. And out at the clubs, like, you always see lots and lots of local DJs, and they're all really, really receptive to the idea of live, mixing live music in with dance music. And there's a lot of Kiwi bands at the moment doing. You don't just see DJs up on stage anymore. You have DJs with the whole shebang. They'll be horns and drums and keyboards and guitars and all sorts up there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I really like it when you're in a club and you have somebody like either singing or playing just a couple of instruments. It just adds to the whole live atmosphere.
Yeah, it totally does. And
I guess the crowd goes.
Yeah, the crowds love it.
You can't beat live music. It just brings something else.
Yeah.
But I mean, there'll always be something. I mean, unless the DJ is absolutely fucking amazing. You know what I mean? It's, a DJ is just a DJ, really.
And I think you need that extra dimension even more now that people aren't doing vinyl DJing so much anymore. Yeah. It's CD, which takes away the whole visual aspect, and it doesn't make it feel so live.
Well,
it's not even
CD. They're just sitting up there at a bloody laptop, and they're just pressing a few fucking buttons on the old thing, and all you see is a little glow of the screen on their face.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, lads, but, it gets to a level.
Touches a nerve there, right, does it?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because this guy could just be hitting play and just bloody playing Quake on the fucking thing.
Yeah.
you know,
really
exactly. Yeah. And getting paid for it. I mean, it just, to me, it gets to a certain level where, I mean, you know, you want to hear good music and everything. And really, I mean, it shouldn't really matter what the bloke on stage is doing. But it's nice if there's a bit of interaction there between the crowd and the DJ. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So I've just launched my new website.
Oh, yeah.
And you can download the music on there.
Okay. What's the address?
www.carolinejoy.co.nz. So you should check that out. It's a great.
So you get, is it free? Free downloads?
Free downloads. Even if you've just got a dial-up, you'll still be able to get the music because there's low-quality ones on there as well as the high-quality.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, should check it out and let me know what you think. And I'll keep on loading up some new stuff as they come along.
Very good.
Sounds great.
Sounds awesome.
And if somebody wanted to check you out in some of the clubs, what would be some of the different clubs that they catch you at?
Well, if you check out the website there again as well, you can email me and I can let them know when the latest gigs are coming up.
No confirmed dates as yet.
Yeah, still working, just still firming up some dates there.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we should actually then...
We should do some shout-outs. Yeah. Okay, well, I would do one shout-out to Jefferson Davis. Jefferson Davis has a podcast, and you can check out his blog as well at jeffersondavis@blogspot.com. And, he's from...
Cali.
Where?
From California.
No, he's not.
Isn't he?
I thought he was. He's from Carolina. North or South Carolina, I'm not sure. Oh, shit. Oh, he's probably going to hate me for this. But anyway, big shout out to you, Jefferson. Like the podcast. You should go check it out. He's what I like to call an intelligent, reasonable American. Which is, which is great. It's just reassuring. It's just nice to know they're right there. just in terms of the politics we have to deal with every day.
And I'd like to, did I catch you there?
No, okay.
Go ahead, shout out as well to Susan and Lee from, all the way from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And they were commenting on actually session one with the environment and the green stuff. And, thanks for that. Thanks for your comments, but you're wrong. You're wrong. No. No, wind power, yeah, it's got its place. Anyways, that's another time, another story. But yeah, shout out. Thanks for the comments, guys.
We'll come back to the environment another time. Whenever I've stopped fuming with Rob over the last time, yeah.
But anyways, you can always get in contact with us from our blog.
Yep, and our website. And our website. Email address is
nzpubcast@gmail.com.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. So we're gonna wrap it up there.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up there. Let's have a quick tune here from our guest tonight.
Oh yeah.
Caroline Joy.
Do you know which one you're gonna do?
No.
No.
No, I don't know. The choice is very difficult.
Okay.
No, actually, let me introduce this one. This is my track called "Starting Again, Again."
Starting again, again.
Very good.
Have a listen,
guys. Well, and you can also get these tracks from www.carolinejoy.co.nz, and you can also get information about today's podcast
session four
on nzpubcast.blogspot.com. So many addresses to remember.
Oi.
It's so hard.
Oi. All right.
Okay, guys. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
We'll catch you next week.
Bye. Let's go.
like, you like, you like.